It's warm in here. So I am back after 4 weeks, taking a break for a study break that I've initiated. The elders, and we initiated me taking a one-month break every summer to study or prepare for something, some teaching topic or something like that. But the last 2 years, I've been we've done it. Last year I worked on our statement of faith, revising that, and we'll be reviewing that with our church membership this next year. And then this summer I started working on our constitution and made some quite a bit of inroads on that. And so pray for me as I continue to work on that. There's just some, you know, it's just the constitution really is a lot of work. And then I was excited that we were able to do some evangelism training with Christian, or what is it? What's the Great Commission? Yeah, Great Commission Association. And but when we planned that, I actually had a wedding that weekend, so I couldn't be here. But I heard really good things about it, and they're excited about coming back up, and I'm excited about coming back up. And I just encourage you to, if you went to it, or even if you didn't go to it, that I, you know, one of the priorities that the elders has put on for us as our body, we believe that we want to work on being more evangelistic, and so we're providing training that we're doing, teaching that we're just encouraging that. And so I would just encourage our body, encourage you, just to pray for open doors, that God would open up doors and give you boldness and give you confidence to share the gospel to family, friends, and or even fishermen and around the, catching more fish than them or catching less fish than them, whatever. And then Makisha mentioned Acts, and adult Sunday school is going to be going through the book of Acts, and I'm pretty excited about that. I'm just doing an initial background and coming up with a theme for that, and we'll be teaching on that. And I don't know if, I don't think you, where's Makisha? I don't think she said it, but Christian means little Christ, right? And that's why they start calling them little Christ, because they were acting and living like Christ. And so, all that to say, I am glad to be back in the pulpit. It's been a busy week. Summer's busy. I went dip knitting twice, and Monday, and I had a good time. But Friday, we killed it. And I was just so thankful. I was so thankful until I started having to process it. And that's the way with it all the time, right? You know, I love killing moose, but then you get up there and, oh man, I got to carry that out. I can't do that anymore. I will not carry out a moose anymore. Unless somebody takes me hunting and we have to carry a moose out, then I would do that. I would take out the four fronts and take out the little pieces. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All that to say, if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews. And we'll get into Hebrews. So we're back in the book of Hebrews in our series, Jesus is Better. Last time, if you remember, we were looking at chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. And we were looking at Jesus' high priestly ministry. And we saw that Jesus is a source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And we looked at what that means. It's not works-based salvation, but it's obedience is the fruit of faith. Romans 1:5, Paul says, he talks about the gospel as bringing about the obedience of faith. That is, that faith produces, the fruit is obedience and faithfulness to the Lord Jesus. And so today we want to consider spiritual maturity as we look at chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. And my message, pursue spiritual maturity. Pursue spiritual maturity. So for those of you that have had children, you remember when your wife had a child, and it is your wife, the woman that will have a child, that can have children. From the moment they were born, they are fed milk or some formula. For some reason, you can't breastfeed them, and they rely entirely on their parents for everything. Feeding, changing, and comfort. But as the child grows, they begin to eat solid food. We wean them, right? There's that process of weaning them off of milk and feeding them solid food. And they grow and they get larger, taller, stronger. They walk and talk and they learn language. But imagine if that child at 5 years of old or 10 years of old age was still on milk and they were still crawling and they were unusually short and weak. We would know there was something wrong with them. Hopefully would know that before then, right? We call that bad parenting if you didn't, right? But if you recognize that there's something wrong, you would do something about it. You would go see the doctor, you'd go make an appointment, take the child into the doctor to get some kind of diagnosis of why your child is undernourished and undeveloped and not growing properly, right? Well, the writer of Hebrews addresses that same kind of an issue spiritually. He is saying, or he's addressing he's addressing these Christians who are spiritually immature. He describes as spiritually dull, and they're in great danger because of this spiritual condition. And what he calls them to do is to a life of growth and maturity. Chapter 5, verses 11 through 14 challenges us to examine our own spiritual growth and maturity and call us to maturity. And so there's 3 points I want to go over with you today. First of all, we're going to look at the diagnosis of spiritual dullness. We see that in verse 11. And then we're going to look at the symptoms. There's 3 symptoms, but I summarize them as spiritual childishness in verses 12 and 13. And then third of all, we're going to look at the remedy. The remedy is to pursue spiritual maturity, and we see that in 5:14. And my big idea is this: pursue spiritual maturity by growing in your understanding of God's word. Pursue spiritual maturity by growing in your understanding of God's word. So let's listen as Hebrews 5, 11 through 14 is read for us.
Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this scripture. I thank you for the writer of Hebrews, and that was saw fit to be included in the canon of the New Testament because the early church saw it as inspired by your Spirit. And the writer of Hebrews teaches us, and he challenges us and warns us and calls us to consider and to follow Jesus. And he also comforts us to assure us as we struggle to follow Jesus. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would come now and demonstrate his influence through the gift of teaching and preaching as I share. Give me clarity of thought. Help me to be concise. Help me to be convincing. And so, Lord, I just pray for the anointing of your Spirit, the power of your Spirit to work through my gifts, my personality. And, Lord, we also need, even as we think and we consider spiritual dullness and spiritual hearing, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see how great and glorious you are, Jesus. That we would be drawn to you. That we would want more of you as we leave here. And Lord, again, that we are radically dependent upon your Spirit to do that. For both of us, for me and for all of us as we listen. And so, Lord, we ask We plead, show your mercy and grace today through this gift of preaching and teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. So the writer of Hebrews wants to say more about Jesus' high priest ministry, but he stops because he's having a difficult time explaining that. Look at verse 11 again. About this, that is, about the high priestly ministry, we have much to say, and it's not just him, but it is the leadership and those who are teaching. We have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since, or you could translate that word as, because you have become dull of hearing. So he wants to go on and describe the glory and the greatness of Jesus' great high priestly ministry, but he can't because of their spiritual dullness that is hindering their ability to understand. So the problem is not that it is too hard to understand or too hard to communicate, nor is the problem that they have an intellectual inability or limitations. The issue is their spiritual dullness. The problem lies in his diagnosis, that they have a spiritual dullness, a sluggishness, even a carelessness towards God and his word. Their inability to understand biblical truth in the Bible is a heart issue. Because it's a heart issue, it's a hearing issue. Your ability to hear spiritual truth for what it is, not just grammar and thinking and connecting the dots logically as I speak or as anybody speaks, but understanding the spiritual realities of the truth that is communicated from Scripture, is the ability to hear that is a heart issue. And your heart and my heart is dynamic spiritually. When you come to faith in Christ, God takes out a heart of stone. Jeremiah, the promise of the new covenant is that God takes out a heart of stone that is a non-living, inanimate object and gives you a heart of flesh. Spiritually makes you alive. That is the work of God by his Spirit in salvation. But that heart is not static. It's still dynamic. And if you've been walking with Christ for even months or a couple of years, you know that the Christian life is like this, right? It's not better than the day before. It comes and it goes, and it's ups and it's down. But the goal is growth, that over time, that you are more mature, that you're growing, that you become more like Christ over the years of walking with Christ. But if you come, or if you read your Bible, or you're talking with your friends, and you're having a hard time with what they're saying, you're resisting it, you don't care about it, maybe you're even just trying to figure out how, I don't understand how it applies to me, that could be, and it's probably, a spiritual condition. It is a heart issue. I do not wake up every single morning loving Jesus better than I did the day before. I wake up numb, frustrated, flatlined, and I go to God's Word, not because I necessarily want to, but because I've ingrained that habit in my life, because I know I need it to enlarge or to enliven or to light my heart affections for Jesus. Karen makes me breakfast almost every morning. I don't always love what she makes me, but I know it's good for a couple of reasons. One, I'm thankful that she does it. Number two, it nourishes me. And number three, I eat healthier because I'm married to her than I would have if I'd never married her. So I'm a lean, mean fighting machine because of my wife. What's that? In And the writer of Hebrews says this diagnosis is dangerous. It's deadly. If you have an ESV Bible, on the top of the heading across that is what? A warning against apostasy. Because this kind of a heart can ultimately, left unattended, left undealt with, will lead to apostasy. That's what chapter 6 talks about in the verse 8, 10 verses. It's like you're at the doctor's office and the doctor has done an examination of you and he's concerned because he knows these symptoms and he knows this disease and it's a deadly disease like cancer or any other life-threatening disease, and if you do not do anything about it, there's only death that faces you. They have become dull of hearing. Become tells us that they were not always dull of hearing, but they have drifted to the place of being dull. Life was getting hard, and so they're rowing, right? Remember the illustration I used? Sometimes when you're in a boat and you're rowing, if the wind is behind you, and man, you can go, right? Sometimes there's no wind, and there's no wave, there's no current, and rowing is hard. And then sometimes the wind is against you. And it's even harder. That's the Christian life sometimes. But what's going to happen if there is no current, or if there's the wind against you and the current against you and you stop rowing? You're going to drift. You're going to go off course. I told you about the time that we were at what lake up north, Long Lake? Up above Moose. The big lake up above Moose. On the straight road. Do you know what I'm talking about? Anyways, there's this long lake. Yeah, it's a lake. Anyways, it's a long lake. And we were there with the Swansons, and we were going out there. It was great. And coming back, the wind picked up. And it picked up, and we were busting our to get across the lake. And I remember afterwards, Lenore's telling Pete, we need to wait up for the tailors because they're getting behind us. And Pete says, I don't care about the tailors right now. I'm getting across this lake. Thank you, Pete. They have become dull because they've drifted. The word dull is used twice in the New Testament. In the Greek word anyways, it's in verses 5:11 and 6:12. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to chapter 6, verse 12. It actually should be on the same page, particularly if you have an ESV. Let's look at verse 11 and 12. And we desire that each one of you to show the same earnestness to have full assurance of hope until the end. He's talking about perseverance. So that, this is a purpose. Why should we have full assurance? So that an eagerness, that is a diligence, a spiritual passion, a spiritual desire that motivates you to persevere. Why? So that you may not be sluggish, that's that word, dullness, sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. It is used in Hebrews 6:12 to exhort them to persevere in the faith so that they won't apostatize, so that they won't fall away because of spiritual dullness or sluggishness towards God and His Word. So they have drifted away from Jesus and He is concerned about them. It's like they have allowed life to distract them, or they have allowed the difficulties of life, instead of clinging to Jesus even tighter, they frustrated, angry, or they're not satisfied with Jesus, so they're looking for satisfaction in all the other things in life. And because of that, they have drifted away from Jesus. Have you ever gotten so preoccupied or ever had difficulties in life that instead of clinging to Jesus, you started clinging to other things more tightly? C. see people dip netting on the Kenai, and there's this one section of the Kenai that had these holes in them that the sand was soft and rocks. I'd never experienced this on the Kenai, but there's these rocks, and if you weren't paying attention, people were tripping on the rocks or they were falling into the holes. In the writer of Hebrews, it says that's exactly what has happened. You've been distracted from Jesus and life has tripped you up or you have fallen over. And if you don't correct this, you are going to drown spiritually. So let me just repeat this. The dullness makes... Their dullness is making it difficult for them to learn and understand Jesus' high priestly ministry. So again, the difficulty of him teaching and communicating this is not their mental inabilities or the toughness or the difficulty of the topic. It is a heart issue. It is giving them a hearing issue. There's a spiritual carelessness towards God and his word, towards Jesus. The issue is a spiritual dullness. It's not that they can't understand it, it's just they don't desire, they don't want to understand it. And that doesn't mean that it is difficult, particularly if you're a new Christian and you've never read the Bible, you're unfamiliar with the Bible, and you come in and you start reading and start hearing this language that is foreign, that you don't understand, and that you need some foundational understanding, some basics of the Christian faith. That's a good thing. And even the writer of Hebrews will say milk is a good thing for when it's appropriate. But he's talking about truth that is foundational. He's not talking about truth that's foundational, that is hard to understand because you're new to it. He's talking about truth that is formational, that you should know about, that you should be able to understand because you've been a Christian for a while. But they can't because of this dullness. So we've looked at the symptom. I'm sorry, we've looked at the diagnosis, which is a spiritual dullness, which makes it difficult for them to understand truth. Now let's look at the symptoms, and see if we identify with any of them in verses 12 and 13. Hebrews identifies three symptoms that lead to his diagnosis. If you look at verse 12, it starts with a four, and that four tells us that he is going to give us the ground or the reason or the symptoms for his drawing his conclusion that they have spiritual dullness. And there are three symptoms. They can't teach others, they need milk, and they lack discernment. It's supposed to be lack discernment there. So let's look at that first one. They can't teach. Look at verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic doctrines of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. They can't teach others. They've been Christians long enough that they should be able to teach, to explain to others biblical truth, but they can't. Now, he's not talking about the gift of teaching. He's not talking about what I'm doing or what we do in adult Sunday school or even children's church. He's not talking about the special gifting of the Holy Spirit so that you can communicate truth in a clear way to larger groups. He's talking about just being able to communicate and explain biblical truth to others so that you can care for one another. Because the Bible calls us to teach one another, to encourage one another. Let's look at Colossians 3, 14 through 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. That's to the church. Paul writes, and in Colossians, he writes to the whole church, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That is, the truth about Christ dwell in you richly. That is, meditate, think, and reflect on it. Teaching and admonishing, that is, encouraging one another, exhorting one another, correcting one another with all wisdom. It is normal that Christians should be able to teach and encourage and explain biblical truth to one another. That is expected for all of us, not just a special gifted few. Then in Hebrews 3, verse 12 through 13, if you have your Bibles, you can turn back a page. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But how do you fight unbelief and falling away? But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That's to the church. And you exhort one another with biblical truth or biblical texts or biblical passages. It is normal for Christians to be able to teach and encourage one another with biblical truth and with the Bible. So let me just ask you, can you explain biblical truth? Can you encourage others with the Bible or with biblical truth? Now I can't say that you should be doing that after a year of coming to faith, or 2 years, or 3 years. But over a reasonable amount of time, you should be able to understand, because you have put yourself in His Word, because you want to know God's Word, because you want to know more about God and Jesus Christ. And so you think on it, you study on it, you meditate on it. That is, let me tell you, that is normal for the Christian life. If it is not normal, then there's something wrong with you, not with God. Oh my gosh. Let me just put a plug here. I've talked about this before, but one of my concerns is two things. One of my concerns is that in our children's ministry, we have mostly women teaching it. And I love the fact that women love to teach it. But what does that tell our children growing up? That women are the teachers. And so I'm calling and challenging our men to teach children's church. It's basic truths. So we can model. And then the other thing I'm concerned about is the young men. And so I will give as much opportunity to young men, because the young men are the future leaders. When I was at my last cohort a month or two ago, one of the guys who planted a church 5 or 7 years ago, and when he started his church, most of the people in the church were between 25 and 30. His young congregation. And he's been doing it for 5 or 7 years now, and he looked around to his leadership, and he was saying, where are all the young men? Because now everybody is 7 to 10 years older. And he says, we're not attracting young men, so we need to attract young men, and we need to train them up to be leaders, because they're the future of the church. So a failure to know leads to a failure to grow. A failure to know leads to a failure to grow. So let's look at the second symptom. They need milk, not solid food. We see this in the last half of verse 12. You need milk, not solid food. They must relearn the basic or the foundational truths of Jesus and the gospel. And he's not talking about reviewing. It is always good to review truths or basic truths. I was just reading a section of a systematic theology book recently, just because we're talking, and we're actually talking more about faith in Hebrews, and I want to just refresh my memory of the breadth and the depth of having a biblical understanding of faith and what that means. And much of it was all review for me, and those are good things to do. What he's saying, what the writer of Hebrews is saying, is that they must relearn that, because they have forgotten it, or because they've lost it. And he describes that those foundational basic truths, the oracles of God, and the oracles is just words of God. He's just talking about Scripture. He describes that as milk. They need milk, not solid food, because they are childish and immature. Look at verse 13. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, because or since he is a child. They are like infants who need milk because they cannot digest solid food. Milk is good. Milk is appropriate. Milk is necessary at an appropriate or right stage of life when one is an infant. Infants are nursed by their mothers with milk, but at some point they are weaned because they need more than a mother's milk to nourish them. They are unskilled in the word of righteousness. And what does that word of righteousness mean? I think what it means is the word produces righteousness, that is, becoming like Christ, or holiness. And the writer of Hebrews says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And what he's saying is that they are unskilled, not that they can't read it or study it, that is, they are unfamiliar with it. They have not given themselves to it. They cannot handle it because they do not know it. They need milk because they are spiritually immature. Solid food is for the mature. Pursuing spiritual growth, maturity is the norm for the Christian life. For 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says this, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and knowledge. Grace. Grace is God's empowering presence in our life. Grace is the dynamic that God works in our hearts and in our lives because of the gospel to change the way we think, to change our affections, to change our desires. It is that relational dynamic between you and Jesus by his Spirit that he changes you, that he empowers you, that he equips you. So we need to grow in that dynamic of the influence of the Spirit in our lives to become more and more like Christ and to equip us to live like Christ. And then grow in the grace and the knowledge. Without knowledge, you're not going to grow. So you need to grow in knowledge and understanding. Not in peripheral things, not in tangent, not in the minutiae of being distracted by certain topics which we are sometimes enamored with, but the meat or the solid food that Hebrews describes that we need that makes us more like Christ. That is the formational truth that forms us to become like Christ. So are you growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are you growing in it? You will never grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ without effort on your part, without making choices to pursue the practices and the rhythms of the Christian life that are the means of God's grace to change you. Here's the thing. You can't make yourself mature. Maturity is something God does, but what you can do, you have no control over that, but what you do have control over is the rhythms or the practices, the spiritual habits that are the means of God's grace, that is, that what he uses to change you. His word, worship, prayer, fasting, study, meditation, spiritual community and relationship, sitting under God's word and hearing it preached and taught, just saturate yourself with his word. His word is the primary means by which he changes us. So if you're not pursuing him through his word, you are not going to be growing. You are probably spiritually mature. Spiritual maturity is not static. You can be a Christian for 10 years and still be spiritually immature. You can be a Christian for 3 years and be spiritually mature. It is the dynamic that happens when you pursue Jesus. So let me ask you, are you dull of hearing, or are you prone to being dull of hearing, to being lethargic, to being careless with God and His Word? And all of us need to say, I struggle with that, or I have a tendency towards that, because that is the plight that all of us have. We are prone to, why do we wander? Because our hearts are fickle, because our hearts are drawn to Jesus. But there's this, Romans 7 says that there's this battle that's going on. I do the things I don't want to do, the things I don't want to do, I do. Why? Because we still live in this fallen world, and we still have indwelling sin that we struggle with. So you need to fight against that. If you don't fight against it, it will overcome you and take you out. That was free. It was unrelated to anything I was going to say. So finally, let's close. There's a lack of spiritual discernment, that they are untrained to distinguish between good and evil. There's a lack of a regular intake of solid food so that they cannot discern good from evil. And we'll talk more about that next week because we're out of time. We're going to finish this up next week. So this is what I want to do. I want everybody to stand. And if you particularly struggle or are struggling with spiritual dullness, apathy, lethargy, lethargic or sluggish towards God, I just want you to spend a minute before the Lord asking Him for help. Let's just everybody put their hands out in front of them, your hands, your palms up, because I'm asking you to. Lord Jesus, we love You. We struggle. We're all at different places today in our spiritual appetite and desires, or even dullness or brightness. And so, Lord, I ask that You would take what I've said today to motivate, to propel us towards spiritual maturity, to pursue You, to relish in You, to find our joy and satisfaction in You. So let me encourage you, as you come to the Lord's table, to the body, and partake of the body and blood of Christ, come looking to be fed, because you want to resist and fight spiritual dullness. And we'll look at more about that. What does that mean to fight against spiritual dullness next week? But come, eat and drink of the body and blood of Christ, to be fed, to be encouraged, to be strengthened spiritually, to go out, to consider Jesus more strongly and more diligently and pursue Him. Come, take of the body and blood of Christ in Jesus' name. And if you would like prayer, the prayer team will be up here to pray for you. If there's more people that come up, and we'll be up, pull up some people to pray for you. Let's close with this benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Go in the grace and peace of Christ and in the power of His Spirit.